need to be praying for the persecuted church. And I'm like, yeah, I've got a million other things in my head. Okay. But then as I began looking more at where the persecuted church was, at what the persecuted church was, as I began to see examples of it in videos that I watched, I began to just get a grip that, you know, here in America, we really don't have a grasp on what the persecuted church is. We like that term persecuted church, and somehow we know we're supposed to pray for the persecuted church, but it's kind of hard to know what to pray. So I want to pray for the persecuted church today. We're going to end up this service with an extended prayer time, but I wanted to talk to you today about what is the persecuted church. Now, most of us here understand one part of the term. We understand the term church, or at least I believe you do. You recognize that the term church refers to the body of believers, those who base their life in the news that Jesus came to earth to show God's love and to offer salvation for our sins and eternal life with Christ Jesus. Now, he only asks that we accept that gift that was given through Jesus' death and his resurrection, no matter what our geographic location. Once we do that, once we make the decision that we are followers of Jesus Christ and we accept his gift, doesn't matter where you live in there, you are part of the church. Everybody get that?
Yeah.
Everybody get that? Okay. So when we talk about persecuted church, now we need to define persecuted. Well, and it's a harder term. First, persecution is not difficult circumstances. Now, we go off to Haiti on a regular basis. Got another trip planned. Shannon's going along with us this time. I'm excited about that. Still room, by the way. In March, we're heading off to Haiti, and they have some bad circumstances there. They have a lack of infrastructure, broken down buildings, a collapsed economy, a government that is indifferent at best, or they're just downright corrupt. And they persecute the lives of everybody, not just the church. See, it's difficult to be anything in Haiti. And in many countries, it's difficult just to survive. But hardship is not persecution of the church. Just because a church is struggling does not mean that it's persecuted, no matter what the country. So the next thing that when people think of persecution, they think about government regulation. Now, our media in this country tends to overblow that. They take what is many would consider reasoned legislation and reasoned regulations and things relating to workplace regulations, where we can speak about our faith in relationship to schools and government structures. They take those and they see those as a persecution, but I just really think that's too loose of a use of the term. When you start saying that's persecution, it's like a light. I don't know how to put it. You have to put into the third world country to get the idea of it. You know, I admit, a lot of those things seem like a persecution. And to us Americans, us Westerners, those things can seem like persecution. And I think they're an element of persecution, the laws, the regulations, things like that, that somehow we see as restricting us. But I don't think that's persecution itself. See, persecution, I believe, grows out of prejudice. Now, it isn't prejudice. And some of you are going, prejudice? Who's prejudice against Christians? Okay? Who in the world is prejudice against Christians? Well, let me give you an example how prejudice against Christians evolves or is a precursor to persecution. Let's start out with this. It's a little bumper sticker. You've seen them. Ever seen those? Coexist. There's two of them running around in town. I've checked. Watch bumpers. The Coexist Foundation is a charity which works to promote understanding of Jews, Christians, and Muslims through education, dialogue, and research. They attempt to get to bring together, in those symbols there, Islam, Wicca, secularism, Judaism, Buddhism, Taoism, and Christianity. And they attempt to, in that just say, can't we all just get along? Let's just agree to get along. Now, that sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? Can't we all just get along? But let's look at the practical outworking as it relates to Christianity. See, there's a general trend in the Western world to say, you know, if you just all get along, everything will be okay. It's all going to be okay. And you know what? If that's all it was, I would be all for it. I'd be all for it. It's because Christians, above all, like that idea of getting along. What happens if someone is our enemy? What are we supposed to do to them? Love them. Wow. If they curse us, what are we supposed to do to them? Bless them. Wow. And see, Christians, if we are followers of Christ, look at our enemies and say, I love you. I want to get along with you. But the problem is, on the other side, in a lot of countries, North Korea, Iran, etc., the message is, okay, sit down and shut up. Just sit down and shut up. And if you Christians would just sit down and shut up, if you go practice your religion inside of your church buildings, let everyone else just believe what they want to believe, everything will be fine. But there's a problem. Christianity is not a religion that says, sit down and shut up. A matter of fact, our leader, our great leader, one known as Jesus Christ, he said that. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I'm over governments. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, not some, not the ones that want to let you in, not the ones that agree with you, but make disciples in all those nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching, setting up churches, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you, even to the very end of the age. See, Christianity itself is one that speaks and does. How many, just curious, the show of hands, how many of you were born in a hospital that began with Saint something or other? Yeah, there's a few hands going up there. Because there are so many Saint something or others. How many of you ever heard of a disaster relief organization called the Salvation Army? Okay. Who do they claim as their leader? That guy up there. See, the problem with telling Christianity, let's just all get along, let's just have you sit down and shut up, let's have you stay within your church buildings and don't go anywhere else and don't try and convince anybody else and don't proselytize, which is all that proselytize just means, to try and bring someone to your particular viewpoint, which we all do every day within our lives as we have discussions. I know we do with our children. You try and bring your children, you proselytize to your children, don't you there, Mr. and Mrs. Hobbs? I'm sure you do. But the truth is, Christians cannot sit down and shut up. So in countries where won't you just sit down and shut up, thinking has taken root, the line between prejudice against Christianity and persecution is often broken down. And when that happens, then comes the harassments. Then comes the arrests. Then come the prosecutions. Then come the imprisonments. And yes, even then comes the death. And where does it come from? It all becomes because that message that I gave you, that message to the church, that message of the free gift through salvation of Jesus Christ, is an affront to many. And not only does it make them angry, it makes them fearful. But what are we Christians supposed to do?
Should we
just hunker down in our churches? Have our little holy huddles here? and we'll be all good. And when someone's arrested in Iran or North Korea or Algeria or Egypt or, you know, just keep going through there, Uzbekistan, when they're arrested over there, we just kind of shake our heads. You know, if they just sit down and shut up, you know, they wouldn't have this problem. See, what Jesus said, speaking to his own race of people, in John 8:31-32, Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you and truth shall make you free." Or to put it in a more modern translation, if you hold to my teaching, if you really believe what you've been taught, if you really believe this Jesus is your Savior, if you really believe this, and you're really my disciple, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And you see, the message of freedom is not liked by a lot of governments. You see, it is the very idea that truth has been given to Christians that scares a lot of the world. Today in Iran, Pastor Saeed, who is an American of Persian or Iranian descent, today, as of Thursday, he disappeared from his prison cell where he was being held for trial by the hanging judge. They don't even know where he is now. The Iranian authorities won't even identify where he's at. And his charge? What is the main charge against him? Of course, there's a list of charges 20 miles long. And you can read about him. He's in your bulletin here. And I would urge you to do so. If you don't read this story, well, shame on you. It's all I can say. I would read about Pastor Saeed here. And you can find lots more on the web about him and his plight. But the truth of this is found within the charge. His central charge is undermining the national security of Iran by proselytism and setting up churches. That's his crime. He went out and told people about Jesus, and he tried to teach them through setting up house churches within the country. That's his crime. But that's his call. What else can he do? But you see, it's not Pastor Saeed that anybody's afraid of. It's not any of these people. It's not the North Korean Christians who just for being a Christian will end you up in a labor camp. And if you're out trying to proselytize, if you're trying to evangelize, if you're trying to say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, can end you up like a group of four that I read of in a steel factory who were bought forward to recant their Christianity, failed to do so, and had molten metal poured on them to kill them. These things go on. These are not dreams. These are not vague ideas. These things go on. See, but what scares them is the truth. And see, the truth that Pastor Saeed brings out and that many others bring out, this is the truth, is the life and message of Jesus Christ, the message of salvation. Simply put, the truth is Jesus. As a matter of fact, he put it to his followers this way, his Christians, those who would come and believe in him and proclaim the truth. He said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There's no other way. There's no other way. And boy, do people have a problem with that idea. Because that means we won't just get along. Does it mean we make war? It has in the bad early years of Christianity. Does it mean we make war now? Sure, we fight with ourselves more than we do with the world. That's just the honest truth. See, Christianity is the way that follows the truth and leads to the life. And all that is bound up in Jesus. And it is for the proclamation of that truth that Jesus Christ is the way that the church has been persecuted through the ages and continues to be persecuted in country after country. Some of you I handed these little things to. Did you get one of these? Yeah. Did you get one of these? These are some of the countries that, send a few down that way, they can share. Did you get one of these? Anybody else not get one of these? There you go. One for you and one for you. Anybody else? These are some countries throughout the world. You've all got a different country there. We're going to be praying for some countries in a few minutes here. Countries throughout the world in which Christianity is out and out persecuted. Afghanistan, a country we're helping, spending our time with, throwing our resources, our troops into. Somalia, Iran, Saudi Arabia. You hear of these countries again and again and again. And you think of it as a war against the Western world, but quite frankly, it's a war against Christianity. As we proclaim the truth in places where governments are afraid of the truth, where children have been taught since they were this tall that Jesus and Christians are out to kill them, are out to hurt them, in tribes and cultures and regions where Christianity has been taught as the crusaders that came through and are coming, want to come back and destroy them, where those things have been taught, the truth, Jesus Christ, is an offense. And we find a persecuted church there. But none of this should come as a surprise. Jesus was pretty clear with the first group of 70 he sent out, and he repeated it a number of times to others as he called them to be his disciples. And he said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." What do wolves do to sheep? You got it. "Therefore, be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be bought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in the hour that you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." So, in those places where truth has become offense, believers today live knowing they're in harm's way. And they have some directions. First, be wise. Be wise. Be wise does not mean sit down and shut up. But it means be wise and work as well as you can under the authorities that are in a region, recognizing that I am the ultimate authority. Be wise. But also be harmless. Christians have no reason to ever go in and go in angry or in a warring mode. We even, as Christians here in the United States, we as evangelical Christians are making a bad name for ourselves when we come off angry and offensive. We are to be gentle and as harmless as doves. Yes, we have to beware of men. We have to recognize that there are religious authorities that want to put us down because our viewpoint does not agree with their viewpoint, and they don't want any other viewpoint because they're afraid of the truth. Even though there's not the person that I won't talk to about their faith, be it any one of those that was on the coexistence symbol. Many don't want to hear that viewpoint because it's Jesus, and the cross is an affront. The cross is a danger to them. Many people, many governments do not like us because they want to hold on to their power. And Jesus brings freedom and preaches freedom. And everywhere Jesus goes, freedom to the captives is declared. They don't like that. So they persecute the church and they persecute individuals that come in the name of Jesus. But God is clear. They are not abandoned. When they stand before councils, when they stand before governments, where they stand in places where Jesus has to be proclaimed, they do not stand there in their own power. They stand there in the power of Jesus Christ. The power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, given through the Father. That triune God upon which Christianity stands. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit indwell. Come inside of the person as they testify to the truth. And why do they stand before councils? Why do they stand before governments? Why did he allow this to happen? It's really clear. He allowed it to happen because that will be a testimony to them, because he cares about even those that are lost in their sin. The Christians who bring good news to those that are tough to bring them to, think Romans 10 applies to them so well. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one on whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, you know me. If I had my choice, I'd drag you all off to Haiti tomorrow. You guys hear it constantly from me. Go to Haiti, go to Haiti, go to Haiti, go to Haiti, go to Haiti. And I always hear, well, is it safe there? Yeah, it's safe. It's safe. Trust me, it's a lot safer than Iran. It's a lot safer than North Korea. It's a lot safer than the other places I'd drag you off to if I could. I'd drag myself off to. You know, I had the ultimate compliment at this morning's service from someone, one of the people in the choir thing. And they came up to me and they said, hey, you're pretty well known in town. I said, yeah. He says, man, everybody likes you. They said, you're a really nice guy. I said, no. They just see a reflection. All I'm doing is reflecting Jesus. Don't give me any credit. Trust me, before I knew Jesus, I have people. I'll be happy to line up for you and tell you what a jerk I was. And when I forget that I'm reflecting Jesus, I got some other people that'll line up. Bob's waving his hand back there and tell you what a jerk I can be. See, when people see something good in you, in me, in our testimony, in who we are, in how we do live out our faith, they should see Jesus. If they see you, you're doing something wrong. And I had to ask myself, am I doing something wrong? Am I not saying Jesus enough out there in the community and making sure that the community knows this is Jesus? Just spurs me on to redouble my efforts. But God's yet to send me to any of those countries where they're going to persecute me. I don't know, will he? Will he send me one day? I don't know. Will he send you? Will he send you to a country where you'll be persecuted? I don't know. That's really up to God. You have to work that out with him. But I do know this. We are, best way I can put it, we are commanded to be with our brothers and sisters in their persecution. Hebrews 13:3. Remember, I love the way this is phrased. Come on, look at how this is phrased for a minute. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. I was thinking of watching these shows, you know. I was watching a show last night. And, you know, they're trying to make the tough guy talk, you know, the guy that's playing tough. And, you know, he doesn't want to talk, you know. So the guy doesn't threaten to shoot him. He says, okay, fine, I'll shoot your brother. Oh, no. He jumps in and defends him. That's the position we are in with the persecuted church. We're the ones standing on the side, in the position to do something, to change the situation. Our brother in chains is waiting for us to pray, to come alongside him, to be chained beside our brother, our sister in Christ, and pray with them. It's because 1 Corinthians is clear, when they're suffering, we're suffering. And we must pray for those who suffer. So the message I bring you is simply this. Pray for the persecuted church. I don't know what God's going to do with you. Are you not convinced as a persecuted church? I urge you to go to persecution.org. I urge you to click on any of the links. I urge you to go to YouTube and just punch in persecuted church and look at the things that are there and recognize that the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth that he came to save the world and to give salvation to all who will accept it from him is an affront to many. And because of that, throughout the world. I'm going to end up today with the time of prayer.